Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, the Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels!
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee. It's Richie D.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Lisa Wallet. Now that's what I call wallentainment.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We like her more than a smidge, it's Kelly Cartledge.
Better than Taboo. It's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Nancy Cease and Desisto. We love you guys. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old broads. As usual, guys, it's me. It's Ronnie Karam. You can find me over on Roast Pricks, which is the Bachelor Roast podcast. And as usual, here I am with my little bestie and co-host, Mr. Ben Mandelker of the, I almost said the B-Side blog, which you do still have. It's the B-Side blog.
Yeah.
And the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, which is a cartoon on LYouTube. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie, what's going on?
Sup, bra?
Sup.
That thing I just finished, Weekend of Crafting. I mean, it was amazing.
Wow.
I mean, so many arts and crafts. I beaded a necklace. I learned how to do some jewelry design. I mean,
that's exciting.
Yeah, everybody. I feel amazing. And we are going to be going to a couple of cities this week. We're going to be recapping Real Housewives of New Jersey in Lawrence, fucking Kansas. And then the very next night, on the 22nd of February, we're going to be recapping Summer House in Omaha, Nebraska. Then next month, we only have one live show, and that is in Salt Lake City, Utah. And for all the rest of our show dates, just go over to watchwhatcrappens.com. We've got some big ones. We've got Charleston. That's a huge theater for us. Boston, D.C., San Fran, you know how it goes. So go check everything out over there. That's also where you'll find links to our bonus episodes at our site, that is. Last week we did a frame-by-frame Real Housewives of New York, and that was also a video episode, which is available on Crappens On Demand, which we do like a recap or two every week on video. So thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon. You are really just giving us the best life ever, that we can just sit here and do this for our jobs is amazing. So thank you guys. And today we are doing Real Housewives of Atlanta.
That's right. We're back to Atlanta. Very exciting. Big episode, big Nene Cynthia summit, the one we've sort of been waiting for all season, but not really, because I think a lot of us really don't care about anyone mending fences with Nene anymore. But, you know, we'll give it to the show. We'll allow it to happen.
Well, I have to hand it to Nene. She is so good at just repeating things over and over again to make mm-hmm. you think that she's telling the truth. And we all know she's a damn liar because everything's on camera. We've seen it, Nene.
Yeah.
But I'm dumb, and so I forget seasons that passed. And, you know, this is Housewives memory. Anybody who watches Housewives has this, where the next season you just kind of forget every bad thing and just start all over with people.
Yeah.
And I'm not liking Nene still. I think she's a monster. But I'm like, what did Cynthia ever do to Nene? because I forget. Or what did Nene ever do to Cynthia? You know,
I know.
Like, I forget the history.
I had like a flash of empathy for Nene at one point also. And then I was like, no, Ben, don't have a flash of empathy for this person. She is a monster, and she's making Cynthia feel bad about calling her toxic. Well, I'm not even going to get into it now, because we'll get into it when we approach it. Let's start at the top of the show, which is actually what we're talking about right now, because the show opens up.
Yeah, look
up.
At that. Look how fast we got to it.
Wow,
that's amazing for us.
I know. Well, first of all, I noticed that the way that the show opened was very much skewed in favor of Nene. I was surprised at that. It was sort of like this. It almost felt like a mid-season trailer. It just opened up a pre-credit sequence of, like Nene and Cynthia, they used to be best friends. We hear a lot of voiceovers or some archival footage and stuff, and we saw pictures of the two of them together. And we heard Nene saying things like, Cynthia was someone who was like a true friend to me. I loved her like a sister. I cherished everything that we had, but now we're not friends.
And now she's dead. It's like watching a Dateline episode. This whole thing was Dateline. It's like, they met. We were best friends until I murdered her in college and blamed some tourist. You know?
Yeah, they should call it the first 48 reunions.
It was very Dateline. I was waiting to just see Cynthia's body floating in a river. I was like, did Cynthia die? What is going on?
Where is Stone Phillips?
Oh, God only knows what he's done. Jeez.
Yeah. He's too handsome to be innocent.
Yeah.
His
name is
Yale
Stone.
Degree.
Yeah.
His name is Stone Phillips.
Yeah, no one named Stone is innocent. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, have we seen Jane Pauley ever since Dateline? I don't think so. I'd like to know where Jane Pauley is.
Yeah, I just finished watching The Morning Show on Apple TV, so everybody I see now, I'm like, don't you try and trick me, Steve Carell. Sexual harassment, Matt Lauer ass. Yeah, so it's very Dateline, and Nene keeps saying things like, it was a betrayal in my eyes. What did she do to you? You're the monster here.
You're the monster who could not be in the same room as Kenya and is now putting this all on as a betrayal. Yeah, I mean, I've said this a million times. I'll say it a million more times. You know, Cynthia, yeah, she was a little shady. But I also don't think it was the worst offense in the world. And I think it's, you know, and what I'm talking about specifically is her pretending like she didn't know that Kenya was going to show up. I really don't think that's the worst thing in the world. I thought it was a weak moment. And she should have just had the balls to tell her friend, by the way, Kenya's coming. But she was afraid. She was afraid to tell her friend, which is weakness on Cynthia's part. But it also says something about Nene, too, that a friend can't feel comfortable enough saying something to her because she's afraid she's going to flip out. Which, by the way, fuck it. I am going to talk about the toxicity thing. That's what makes someone a toxic friend, when you give everything to that friendship. And like, you do one wrong thing and it's like you lose yourself in it. It's everything is that you're putting in everything to keep that person happy, and that's where the toxicity comes in. Miss Nene Leakes,
yeah, she's toxic. No question about that one. So that's how we start a Dateline episode. We don't know who's dead. We know that Nene did it. No matter who's dead, I don't care, look around your neighborhood, find out who died. Nene did it. That's what I say. So let's go over to Swagga. Nene is pretending to help customers, which is just hilarious to me.
Yeah, she's telling some lady that animal print is the new black, which then, in retrospect, remembering this scene, makes me realize that this whole elaborate leopard lunch, it's just a way for her to move some merchandise out of her store. That's what she wants.
Yes, animal print is not the new black. Okay. And stop saying it. I don't know if you heard that on TLC 12 years ago or whenever the fuck Lisa Rinna came back on the scene dressing like Fran Drescher in The Nanny. I don't know when you heard that, but stop it. It's not the new black. It's not. Animal print is animal print. And it's just as fucking lame as ever, okay? And you guys are going to look back in 10 years and look at yourselves looking like a bunch of damn fools. And don't say I didn't warn you, okay? It's stupid. Looks stupid. Nene sells it, okay? Stop wearing it.
Although I did like the animal print challenge on Project Runway this season. I'm not going to lie.
Well, there you go. You know, at least that's using it in a new way. This is not.
Yeah.
This is like a caftan cheetah thing. Okay, stop. So Marlo comes in and who cares, really? They talk about going to.
they're talking about basically Cynthia. And Cynthia has sent Nene a thank you gift. You know, she basically wrote a note that said, you know, in the craziness of everything that happened, I never got a chance to thank you for the kind cheese platters you sent passive aggressively during my wine launch. And then we also got like a flashback of Nini opening the gift from Cynthia. And as Nini is approaching the gift, she goes, "Wow, that bag looks mighty wrinkly." I'm like, it's a gift bag. They wrinkle.
It's a freaking gift bag, okay? Call the post service. Call the postal service.
I know. Call Hallmark Incorporated and demand better materials for their gift bags.
Yeah. And Marlo, who is way too invested, is like, "I feel chills. I've got chills.
They're multiplying.
I'm losing control.
Because the thank you gift, you're supplying.
It's wrinklifying." "You better run up to... because I need a candle." "And my wick is stuck on you."
I wish I knew the rest of the lyrics. It's that's the part of the song that I just start like mouthing along and making sounds.
"You better shape up, boop, boop, boo."
So there, because I need a man. Oh, I knew that
and
part.
"And my heart is set on you."
Set you on shape you. Up. Sit on chill.
The rest, actually,
you're the chill that I want, the chill that I need. Kitchen islands. Mm-mm.
I need a cool rider, personally. So let's go over to Kenya. Who?
I'm sorry to all of our audience that they had to sit through us sort of like feeling our way through our Weird Al Yankovic version of the song.
What are you apologizing for? You think these people just fell off a fucking turnip truck? They know where they are. Anyone who's annoyed by us, turn this off after 30 seconds. I can guarantee you that.
You know what? I'm apologizing because unlike certain people on this TV show, I am capable of seeing faults with myself.
Well, it's really fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun to see faults in yourself.
It is fun.
I've built my whole life on it.
I know. We built a whole podcast.
Got plenty. Yeah. Okay, so Kenya is over cooking... Now, here's an apology. Chilean sea bass, okay? What are you, at pump?
Wow. Yeah, she's cooking, but not only Chilean sea bass, she's making miso Chilean sea bass. She just took Lisa Vanderpump and raised her an ingredient. Chef Joe, get on that. What is this miso? What does that mean? I'd like to get involved.
I have an idea. I would like to take something simple, like a bean of a soy, and turn it into a pasta.
So Kenya's making Chilean sea bass for apparently herself, and Cynthia shows up, and then actually Kenya explains that I guess the Chilean sea bass was supposed to be for her and Mark, but Mark decided to leave because he remembered that he was married to Kenya, and so now she's gonna offer it to Cynthia instead.
Yeah, he totally escape hatched the hell out of there. He's like, "Kenya's cooking, yeah. I'm leaving." I don't know what gave you the idea that a man who owns multiple decent restaurants wants to eat your cooking, lady who microwaved stuff for the plumber in her first season.
Yes. I mean, I was, honestly, I'm not going to lie. I did have a moment where I sort of stopped and thought to myself, Kenya made miso Chilean sea bass? Like,
she did she not. Actually, there's she no bought, way.
There's no way, right? She heated it up, or right? Because I don't see Kenya going to the supermarket and actually buying miso paste.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I don't even know where that shit is, and I've looked for it.
It's over. I feel like it's. I actually have a little tub of it that I recently bought. And by the way, it turns out it's great and everything, but it's over by like the tofus and things like that, and where kimchi's are. Kimchi.
Well, that explains why I can't find it.
Do they not have kimchi in Austin?
Yeah, they have kimchi, but I'm just not often in the tofu section. I am learning because, you know, I'm trying to change my ways. So I did. Who cares? Who cares about my tofu?
I'm a huge dork. I'm the sort of person that like always checks out all the sections of a supermarket just to know what's around. So in the future, if I need something, I know that I can get it. That's why I know this random shit, because I will take an extra lap around the store.
Oh, yeah, you'll have a lot of fun in Texas. The grocery stores are huge here. You could do that for a week, just scoping it out.
I believe it.
And then they'll change the aisles up, you know, just to keep it fresh. And you're like, damn it! Where was the miso paste? So Cynthia comes over, and she does a typical Cynthia thing where she uses your own lines against you. She's like, oh, thanks. I came looking cute just in case I have to read a bitch. Ha, 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 ha. Mm-hmm. They have a very nice makeup where Cynthia's like, so why did you drag me to Cookie Lady Drama?
Yeah.
Just because I took you to her store on camera, totally not to start a fight, doesn't mean that I wanted to be on camera in a fight, okay? Stop not letting me get away with my Lisa Vanderpump underhanded bullshit, okay?
Yeah, because basically they're doing grace before having this miso land sea bass. And Cynthia's like, dear Lord, thank you for the food that you're blessing us with. And thank you for this wonderful bounty that we're going to partake in. I apologize for smelling like asphalt, but I was thrown under the bus by Kenya Moore and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So she basically, you know, she used grace as a way to be passive aggressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Some passive aggressive fighting and praying. Dear Lord, please help my sister to not be such a bitch.
It's a great way to fight.
Yeah. So Kenya's like, yeah, you were trying to blame it on me by going to Tanya and telling her in the first place that I was the one who had the cookie lady. So you did it first. You threw me under the bus first. And Cynthia's like, I hear that. And I will do it. Because people need to learn to argue. It's one of the biggest things in relationships. Listen, lady. Do you think people need to learn to argue because you're dating someone you know is going to cheat on you any second? Okay, it's really just a matter of time before that guy has his dick in somebody else. Probably in the same building as you. Okay, I wouldn't even doubt if it was at one of your parties. Okay, you know it's going to happen. So now you've learned some therapy talk for learn how to argue. No,
she didn't learn how to
be around people that you don't have to fucking fight with all the time because they're assholes. How about that?
First of all, she did not learn that from any therapy talk. She learned it because Mike put it in his book. Because this is jumping forward a little bit, but she's like, well, you know, Kenya, Mike actually wrote a book called Open Mike. Did I tell you about that? You know that everyone's like, yes, Cynthia. And he always says, you know, it's not about, you know, you need to know how to love someone and you need to know how to argue with someone. Because she says that at some point, that's what Mike said. Because she then says it the whole episode. You know, she like learned one nugget when she went and visited him in Porter Ranch, which is where one of our listeners found out where he is, Porter Ranch, which, as we said, is Deep Valley. So high five to you, Ronnie. Because we both figured it out. It was Deep Valley.
I didn't even know what Porter Ranch was, so there you go.
Porter Ranch is always on fire. It's like, you know, whenever you hear about forest fires in L.A., you know, when you see these fires and people are like, are you okay? It's almost always at Porter Ranch for some reason.
Oh, and you're like, why is the rent so cheap here? I'm totally moving out here.
It's actually beautiful up there, but it's Deep Valley. And I still don't know why it actually agitates me so much. I already feel myself getting like whipping myself into a frenzy about the fact that he's in the Deep Valley, but claiming to be like in the heart of LA, even though he never claimed to be in the heart of LA. The point is this.
His book is named Open Mike, okay? He has as much of a brand. This is how I know he's good for Cynthia, because they have terrible branding, okay? That whole 50 Cent, terrible, stupid. This, terrible, stupid. Open Mike, what audience wants to sit through an open mic? Nobody, okay? You know who's at an open mic? Comics.
Yeah. Have you ever been to an open mic night? It's terrible. If it's not comics, it's people on their guitar in Starbucks.
Yeah.
Back when Starbucks used to do that sort of thing, back in the 90s.
God, did they? That's terrible.
Well, remember, coffee shops in the 90s were very much all about, like, you go there if you want to, if you want to start up, like, teaching people how to speak Spanish, you put up a little posting on the bulletin board with the little things that you pull off, you know, and then other people go there and they recite poetry and they have music. The Starbucks here, I'm in New York right now at the moment, freezing my ass off. It is colder in my childhood bedroom than it is in Antarctica right now, because Antarctica actually hit 70 degrees, and it is colder in here than Antarctica. The Starbucks that was the closest Starbucks to here used to have like singer-songwriters come in and play on their guitars. And
gross.
Yeah,
exactly. So Eva's getting a sonogram thingy where they're like putting the Target price scanner on her belly. We don't find out how much that baby cost, but
it's Dr. Jackie. Do you ever know why is it that everyone who's not on Married to Medicine goes to Dr. Jackie, but no one goes to Dr. Simone?
Hey, that's a good question, actually. I don't know.
Yeah, what's wrong with Dr. Simone?
They Dr. all Jackie's go to Jackie. Out there working it. Guess.
Seriously.
Will you film here? Will you film here? And then Riley and Candy are shopping, and Riley doesn't like Candy says that something Riley picked out is too skimpy, and she's like, do you see yourself? I can see your whole chest.
She's the mom. She's allowed to show her chest.
Yeah. And then Portia's playing with her baby, and Portia's wearing this shirt with hands all over it. Like, oh my God, I've got hands all over me, which is like so sad knowing that like her husband's just leaving handprints all over town. You know,
poor I know.
Portia, I don't like that shirt for you.
Yeah, she's playing with her mom and PJ, and she's talking about PJ. She's like, you know, PJ, she doesn't like to be put on the spot. You know what? Like, literally, I will put her on the floor, and when you turn your head for 2 seconds, she's like way over there. I'm like, well, she must get that from her dad.
Yeah.
She's like, how did he do that? Now I'm going to need an apology to your grandmother and your aunt.
I look the other way, and suddenly PJ's wearing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle tracksuit.
And then over with Greg and Nini, who we haven't seen in a long time, they're role-playing, and Greg is being Cynthia so they can practice this fight. And Nini's just an asshole already in the fight. She's like, oh, God, you're crying now. I'm leaving. Bye.
Yeah. By the way, the first person to cry in the fight was Nini, for the record.
Well, tried. She tried to cry. Very, yeah, very hard she tried. Oh, that was hilarious. But you can't really practice for somebody putting an entire wine glass full of salsa in front of you. Like, there's no practice for that.
Just when we were coming around to the Bailey Wine Cellar, she does that. I mean, we had a listener over the past week. I think one or two people tweeted at us and were like, actually, I went to the Bailey Wine Cellar. It's not so bad. It's a surprisingly fun time. So I'm like, okay, maybe the Bailey Wine Cellar is not so bad. And then here she comes serving salsa in wine glasses. I mean, it was so offensive.
It was offensive. And it looks like a Hobby Lobby, okay? I get it. Vines. I get your plastic vines. You're going to staple them to the wall. But I go to Michael's too much for that shit, okay? It just looks like Michael's to me. I'm like, when's your sale? I'm on your mailing list. Why didn't I get an email about the cheap canvas? Why?
I just feel like salsa in a tall wine glass. First of all, you're just asking for a stain. It's going to be 30 seconds till someone tips that thing over. Especially, you know, you're trying to put a chip in there. And as you know, as you get deeper, you're not going to be able to get your finger all the way in to get that salsa. So then you're tipping the glass, which is weird. Fingers are all over. It's just terrible. How does a wine tasting place that's going to be serving little cheeses and crackers and nuts, how does it not have – how are there, like, no ramekins around?
Yeah. Yeah, even a martini glass or something. Something. But
a martini glass would have been better. It's open. It opens out. It says, come, dip in me.
And then we go over to see Cynthia calling Eva. And she's like, guess what? Nini's coming here, child. And then Eva's like, you are lying like an expensive Persian rug.
Yeah, she's just lying there.
So they are now, here we go. Here's the Cynthia Nini meeting with the salsa and a huge wine glass. I would have left. Now that's when I would have left.
Yeah, I would have left immediately. I would have, because and on top of that, it wasn't even just like salsa in a wine glass. There were two wine glasses, both with salsa, almost to imply that we each have our own private supply of salsa. But it also kind of looked like, by having two, it made it look even more like a weird salsa cocktail because
yeah, it's
two
just
of
way
them,
too much
as opposed to one central.
Salsa. Yeah.
And you know, it was like some shitty, like jarred shit, you know, that she found. Not even like the good jarred shit. It's probably some weird ass brand that looks like it's artisanal, but it's not. And it just sucks because, you know, has that happened to you ever? Because that happens to me a lot. I'm like, oh, well, I don't feel like making this at home, but Ralph's is stocking Annie's salsa, and I'm going to try that. And then you get it, and it's, like, worse than the Tostitos brand.
Yeah, it was some, like, Costco, because there was so much in it, you know? It's like you just pour it by the jug into a wine glass. So they start their meeting, and Nini's like, wow, look at this. So nice. And she's like, I know that a lot has changed, but you still like some salsa, baby.
Yeah, still... I didn't know that about Nini, by the way. I did not know that salsa was sort of her signature snack.
Yeah, me neither. You learn something new that you don't care about every day on this show.
Here's something I did know is that Nini considered Cynthia a sister because guess what? She said it about 15 times since the show began. This is someone I consider a sister.
God. And they start their invite talking because Nini has decided to have a leopard brunch for all the ladies to celebrate womanhood and sisterhood. Sisterhood. Sisterhood.
Sisterhood. Nini, by the way, is the queen of a terribly themed event. right? From the
well, she's learned to cut down words. At least she's learned to
That's
edit.
True.
That's nice. It's just one. It's a terrible pattern that will never seemingly end. But it's at least, you know, one word, which is very different from her gay guy girl guy gay seafood scallop chicken
never
fingers
forget.
Party or whatever the hell that thing was.
Yeah. Gays and gals never forget seafood soiree. That was only the first half of the title. Featuring Kim Zolciak.
Okay, so they start off with that, and Cynthia's like, well, okay, I guess I'm going to start this. I think we deserve to have at least a mutual respect for each other. And Nini's like, okay, then why did you say that I'm toxic? Why? How could you say that I am toxic? What does that even mean?
Exactly. And by Nini just pushing this point, which is what she does, she once again controls the narrative of this fight. She controls it. And once again, Cynthia is on defense, which is what always happens. And that is why it's toxic, because Cynthia is always put in a position of being on defense the moment she does something wrong by Nini. But the moments that Nini ever does anything wrong by Cynthia, there's really no accountability. There's no consequences for Nini. So that's why it's toxic.
Well, Nini's a good politician. She knows just how to find a line and stick to it. You know, you called me toxic. It hurt me. How could you call me toxic?
Yeah.
I've been so good to you. And then Cynthia doesn't remember one single thing that Nini's done. Not one. You can't name one thing. You suck at this. Like, write it down in a notebook before you go. You know, we've seen people whip out a little notebook. Erica Jane suggests, she told Brian Moylan that she always suggests carrying around a notebook, and that's what Yolanda Foster taught her, because these ladies will bring up shit from fights years ago. Come on, Cynthia. You've been doing this long enough. Get a notebook.
Yeah, I think that Cynthia was, maybe she was caught off guard by that. She wasn't planning to have to defend that remark. She thought she was going to have to defend something else, and so because she was caught off guard, she didn't really have an answer for it. But the truth is, Nini is toxic. She's extremely toxic towards Cynthia. And you know, I mean, just look over the seasons, all the things that Nini has done to Cynthia, the way that she's guilted Cynthia about various things and just come down on her. And, you know, I mean, Cynthia needs to move forward. It looks like she has grown a lot, to be honest, but it gets me scared when she gets drawn back into Nini's games.
Yeah. And she's like, well, okay, then maybe toxic was a strong word, but I was trying to explain a situation to you and you were close to it. It's like, no, that's not toxic, what you just said.
Yeah.
Name why she's toxic. There's plenty of reasons, okay? Do I need to do it for you? Because I will.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Nini's like, well, yes, I was close to it. And she's like, well, you know, anything I had to say that wasn't positive, that was after we fell out. So, like, does that not count? Or she's like, you said that I'm weak, and you said that I'm weak and insecure, and you said that I'm weak. You said weak a lot. You just paired weak with other words, but you said weak a lot. She's like, but that doesn't count.
You're even telling your friend what your plans were, and you said, I'm going away for the weekend, but then you put weak, the weak part in air quotes, and then did a face like, I'm referring to Cynthia right now. I know that for a fact.
And so Cynthia's like, okay, I'm not interested in going back and forth. Okay, we both said terrible friends. Let's just leave it at that. Which, no, you shouldn't just leave it at that. What you've done is not equal, I don't think.
Yeah.
So Nini's like, well, the things you said about me are way stronger than the things I said about you. And she's like, oh, really? You don't remember saying anything horrible? She's like, no, well, horrible is a strong word. That's a really strong word, Cynthia. Horrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as in terms of like what Nini said in interviews, okay, so Nini called Cynthia weak, fine. And Cynthia in interviews called Nini toxic and all this and that, whatever. But the difference is it's not like you're just comparing the physical words. You're talking about like years of sort of like friendship abuse that Cynthia has dealt with from Nini. And then finally she said, fuck it, I'm done with this shit. She's so obnoxious. She treats me so badly. She's a toxic friend. And Nini's acting like the only thing that she ever did badly to Cynthia was call her weak. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And Cynthia's like, to your credit, you know, you're a really good friend when you're a good friend. But when you're not, I mean, you just tear them down. You know, you go after them. She's like, who did I tear down? Name one person I've ever torn. Name one. I mean, Kim, who's a trash box. So that was fun.
Yeah. Portia.
Sheree. Portia. Cynthia. Everybody. Like Tanya. Tanya.
The Postmates guy. Yeah. Tanya.
Your own husband.
Sheree did it to Phaedra at some point. I just can't remember. Well, they did have a fight with. She did have a fight with Phaedra at one point.
Well, she never liked.
Yeah,
Phaedra.
Her own husband. Yeah. When he had cancer.
Yeah, I mean, come
Star
on.
Jones.
But of course, Cynthia's like, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. You're having a fight. Make an effort. God. And she's like, it does matter because you're my sister.
My sister. Cynthia's like, well, you're supposed to be my sister. And he's like, no, but you're my sister. And Cynthia's like, you know, yeah, she just says that thing, like, you just tear me down. You're the first one to tear people down and all that stuff. And Nini's like, you know, listen, you have the whole side that you don't want people to know about, and you've done stuff and you want people to think it was me, but it was you. It was you. So basically Nini is saying that she's been covering for Cynthia all this time, out of the goodness of her own sister heart. And she's like, what side?
And Nini said this all the time. She's saying this all the time now, that Cynthia has this other side. Name one. Name one thing, please. I mean, it's you. It's not like you ever keep anything inside. So please name what it is. Because it's not like you're being so nice and keeping everything in all the time. So just name it. Because I'm sick of hearing the same thing. So Cynthia's like, well, Nini, what I need you to know now is that when I go to sleep at night, I'm very happy. And Nini's like, oh, so now I don't want you to be happy? Oh.
Yeah, Nini's like, what? Now, yeah, suddenly, like, suddenly you're saying that I don't want you to be at peace. Like, she's somehow making herself the victim of Cynthia saying that she's happy right now.
Yeah, Cynthia's Nini's at peace. I really am. And Nini's like, Cynthia, have your moment then. Have your moment. She's like, this is not a moment, but you know what? Live your life. You know, live your life.
Like,
get a life. So Nini gets up and like stalks out of there, you know, but this time, and I like how the camera looked like it was falling to the ground, like a ghost movie. Yeah. Are they not allowed to go outside? What happened? Like they hit an invisible wall or something.
Yeah. Nini leaves and Cynthia tells us, you know, this is like typical Nini. She always leaves. Then I always have to go chase her. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, so I'm thinking, oh, wow, but this time she's not going to chase after her. This time she's, she's chasing
after her. And there she goes. She's chasing her more slowly than Forrest Gump, who she brought up. But, you know, it's like a very slow Forrest Gump.
Yeah, so Nini's outside crying, you know, because now she tried to do the threat thing. Like, I've told, you know, there's a side to you and I haven't told people, but there's a side, which... This is also a thing that Nini does, which is that she threatens people with some sort of, like, that she's going to out some sort of vague information and that she's been doing them a favor because she's such a good person. That's what that's implied with that, which is classic narcissist, perhaps borderline behavior. Nini, I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but I absolutely love, you know me, I love to diagnose people as having borderline. Maybe I shouldn't do that, but sometimes I feel like it's really true, you know?
Well, if anybody, it's Nini. My God.
Yeah.
So she's just standing outside this time. She's standing on the stairs because she literally has no one to film with who's a regular on this show. It's like, where else do I go?
She just has a banister to film with. So she's like, banister, you were my sister.
Yeah. So Cynthia's like, look at me. Look at me, Nini. Look at me. Look at me, Nini. Look at me. And she's holding her head. And Nini is doing... I love that even Nini's fake sob is this. Like, you're even hissing in your fake sob. Fucking snake gate.
Yeah, and so Nini is, she's, like, crying, and she's saying, I don't think you understand the way you had made me feel. I mean, calling me toxic, a toxic friend, that was hurtful to me. So, of course, Nini has turned this all around. She's made this all about the fact that Cynthia called her a toxic friend. When the truth is, Cynthia said this after Nini had been a totally vile, terrible person at the reunion. It's not like this was said in a vacuum, okay? But Nini has now turned it around, made herself the victim, made her like pulling on heartstrings with the classic, I don't think you understand how that made me feel. Because, I mean, who can deny if someone's feelings are hurt, you're just going to be like, oh, sorry, you know? Like, everyone always feels bad when a feeling is hurt. But so Just so Nene.
Yeah, and not one single tear, by the way. And this scene goes on for another good 7 minutes. Not yeah. one single tear.
No.
Not one fucking tear out of your eye, ma'am.
And I was starting to fall for it. I had to actually stop myself because I was like, Ben, don't fall for this. Just because you're seeing someone crying and seemingly bearing their soul, like, don't fall for this.
Yeah, but she does. She's a sucker. And then she brings up this how to argue thing again. She's like, you know, you're just one of those people that we have to know how to love and we have to know how to argue as well. It's like, okay, Cynthia, stop trying to rebrand his already terrible branded book. Open
I know. Yeah, Cynthia goes, well, you know, I mean, child, I mean, you know, you could have called me. I could have called you. And, you know, just like, you know, next time just call me. And Nene's like, yeah, well, you blocked me.
Yeah. And then she looks up at the water tower and it has a big neon B on it. She's like, did you do that?
For a moment, Nene is getting jealous. Like, you got a tower?
So Marlo is calling Portia while she gets her hair done to see if she's going to Nene's event. And Portia's like,
no, I'm not going to Nene's event. I don't even understand why she invited me. We haven't had any conversation, and now I'm supposed to show up? What an aggressive invite. It says the world is a jungle, and the pride in this group is real. Let's stop lying on each other. Okay, I know that was a play on lying, but I still think it's about me. And she should have sent me an invite, even... I wouldn't have gotten it because she was blocked. But still, she could have. There was no way for her to send me an invite.
Oh, God. I love Portia. She is just... She does so much heavy lifting on this show.
And Marlo's like, well, I'm telling you this. In Toronto, she was touched about you helping her. She was touched. And then we get a clip of Portia trying to hold Nene back from murdering somebody.
She was so touched by that.
And then Cynthia, now we start getting the timer and we're like, why are we getting the stupid housewives timer? 45 minutes until jungle brunch, but then it becomes clear later.
There was actually a lot of timer in this episode, like, yeah. Because there was like a lot of different things happening. It was like a track meet.
Yeah, lots of timers going on. So it's 45 minutes until jungle brunch. Dun, dun, dun. Cynthia picks up Eva, and Eva is like, think I'm going into labor, but I really want an enchilada. So
enchilada wins out. Enchilada. She's like, you know, I heard this restaurant might serve salsa out of wine glasses. I kind of want to check this out because this doesn't seem like something that should be happening.
Yeah. So they talk a little bit about that, but Eva's like, yeah, I think I'm going to, pretty sure I'm going out, going into labor, gonna drop the baby in your car. So,
yeah. So, yeah, she's sort of like, is like trying to like hide the fact that she's having contractions, but basically the next
really
time we
wants
see her, she's like
some guacamole, man. Really? Yeah. I get it.
But then she's just like sitting on the floor at the in the restaurant, like, yeah, I'm having a baby.
Yeah, and so Candy comes and she's like, oh my goodness, okay, well I guess we should call Dr. Jackie. So they FaceTime Jackie and Jackie's like, she's how many centimeters? Okay, that means she's having contractions. Okay, tell Eva to go to the hospital.
And Eva's like, I don't want to go to the hospital. So Jackie's like, okay, I can talk you through how to deliver the baby. And Candy's like, no, 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 no.
Like, I'm not delivering a baby, okay? I came for lunch.
Oh, lunch. Please tell me you're not having anything high in fat or high in cholesterol or carbs, because baby fit is the new it.
And then Tanya enters in the most Tanya way ever. Hi! Just to the hostess. I'm looking for some friends. It's a jungle party. They might be dressed in jungle things. Oh, my God.
She is. Tanya, I mean... She is so, like, at peak Tanya this episode. And like you said, that was just the hostess. And then when she finds out that Eva's going to the hospital, she goes, she just, it was like her system just overloads, you know. it was just like a short circuit. And then someone had to, like, reboot her from behind. It's, like, too much going on.
And then Cynthia's like, I'll take her to the hospital. Like, anything to get out of this stupid brunch, okay? I'll go to the hospital. So they leave, and Eva, on their way out, Eva's like, we're not ready for the baby. We don't even have a nursery yet. Come on, last minute Eva.
That's okay. This is their third kid. Can't they? They at this point, they should know. Just put together some, I don't know, put a pillow on the floor and put some boxes around it. That's like a good makeshift crib, right?
Put a pillow in a plastic bag.
Clear out an edible arrangements basket.
Yeah.
You know?
Put it in an old Amazon Prime box. I mean, Jesus was in a manger, okay? It's like what cows eat out of. Put the fucking thing in an Amazon box. If it's good enough for my salt shakers, it's good enough for your baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be great. So she leaves, and now it's time to focus more on this jungle. Well, I was confused because sometimes it was called a jungle brunch. Sometimes it was called the jungle lunch. Sometimes it's called leopard lunch, and sometimes it's called leopard brunch. So already a lot of branding issues.
Well, by the time these people show up, by the time Nini shows up to her own event, it's going to be jungle dinner, you know? It's like she's so late. She's 2 hours late to her own stupid thing.
I've just been waiting to unload about this point. But before we get to Nini being 2.5 hours late, we have Tanya and Candy, and they're sitting there. They basically sit there for so long. And after an hour of waiting, Kenya shows up because Kenya's 1 hour late, right? She's just 1 hour late, right? So she gets there, and Kenya's super frosty to Tanya, which is crazy to think that anyone could ever be frosty to Tanya, but Kenya is, of course. And Kenya basically is wearing all white, and then she only has like a little bit of print on her purse. So she's trying to sneak around the dress code.
Yeah, and Kenya's like, well, listen, it took a lot for Nini to invite me, but she talked about me being big and fat. She said my child was a buffalo. So I'm going to give her an opportunity to apologize.
And just won't even look at Tanya at all. Like, won't even give her the time of day. And so Candy's like, well, nice getting around the rules. And Kenya's like, where is Nini anyway? And Candy says, she's late. And Kenya's like, well, I've got to be places. I'm not waiting for her, which I'm never on Kenya's side. But good for you. I'd be the fuck out of there, too. Who does that?
Exactly. Because Kenya only stayed for 5 minutes and then left. And it seems sort of obnoxious, like getting mad at Nini for being late when you yourself were an hour late. But I actually understand the warped mentality of that situation, which is that, okay, I showed up an hour late, but you, the host, are still not here. So you have no idea. For all you know, I could have been there on time, which means that even though I just arrived, you theoretically could have been disrespecting me for the past hour.
Yeah, you're keeping your guests waiting for 2.5 hours. Fucking yeah. Rude.
So like in a weird way, even though Kenya was being disrespectful by showing up an hour late, it's still not as bad as the potential disrespect that Nini was showing.
No,
so I totally support her leaving.
Already respect.
Well, no, I mean, meaning that, like, when I say potential, meaning, like, had Kenya been there from the start.
No,
time.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Nini is just so rude. Like, it's her own event. She invites people and makes them come out and then comes 2.5 hours late. Jeez.
Well, here's why I'm pissed about this. Okay, so Nini Nash waltzes in at 4:30 p.m., okay? Poor Candy and Tanya have been sitting there. I mean, how much conversation can they have at this point? I'm sure Tanya can drive a lot of conversation, but at a certain point, you know, they were just on their phones, just chatting with producers. They probably weren't allowed to leave because they needed to shoot this scene or whatever. They're there, and Nini waltzes in, doesn't even apologize for being late. This is a woman who had a tantrum last season when everyone was late to her natural hair party. Remember, this is a woman who like got mad at people for being late for the, I think, the Savannah trip, I think it was. But the point is this, Nini is, I'm sorry, I'm like getting so livid about this whole situation. I can't even, I'm overloading like Tanya.
Let me make it easy for you. Nini sucks, okay? And I don't know why anybody's even bothering to shoot with her. I would have been out of there in 20 minutes and I would have been fuming after 20. So yeah. Nini comes in, it's like, hi, and she got around her own rules and didn't even wear leopard, and she just has a little leopard purse.
Yeah, she did exactly what Kenya did, and that's obnoxious, too. As Candy says, she's like, see, no, Riley, you're late and not in uniform
Yeah. And Candy's like, well, we're the only ones here. She goes, oh, no, no, I have some friends. They're right over there. They're all in Leopard. And it's all the Twitter people. You know how Twitter, Nene criticized someone's event and said, those are all Twitter
Candy's
people.
Candy's event. Yeah. And then there's all these random
the
people.
Twitter people.
I think one of them we've met before. There's a woman there named, her name is spelled M-Y, like Monique, but with a Y instead of an O for some reason. But I think we've met her before. I think she actually was on that Savannah trip. Wasn't she? Remember that her boyfriend, her husband went to the same school as Phaedra, and went to high school, and maybe they hooked up. Do you remember that lady?
Mm-mm. She left a real impact on me.
Yeah.
She made a real impact on me. so, yeah, there's a bunch of randos here we've never seen. And Candy's like, so you do this a lot now? She's like, yes, I do a brunch for entrepreneur women like me who want to rub shoulders with basically reality stars, you know? It's like, why the hell else are these women showing up to a shooting day?
Yeah.
Because Nene doesn't have any friends, which is what we just learned. Everybody else is out of there.
Exactly. And so Nene is trying really, really hard to push the sisterhood thing. Like, I just want to say that, like, you know, the only people I want to be here, I don't care that Kenny left after 5 minutes. The only people I want to be here are people who want sisterhood. Sisterhood. She's really trying to push this sisterhood agenda. Which is, if you want sisterhood, how about you show up on time when the sisters arrive, okay? There's no sisterhood if you arrive 2.5 hours late. You're lucky in this case because you hired all those ladies to show up with you. But, like, don't talk to me about sisterhood and show up 2.5 hours late to lunch when I'm hangry now.
Yeah. And so she's updating the ladies on Cynthia, and she's like, we had a good talk. And Marlo's like, well, I did talk to Portia, and she said she's shocked you'd even invite her. And Nene's like, why would she be shocked? Because you called her a big fat ham or something with a ugly with an ugly monster baby. I mean, why do you think?
Yeah. You know, Nene, see, again, the reason why she's like pushing this whole sisterhood angle, by the way, is because now when she does extend the quote unquote olive branch, as she loves to say, I mean, it's a saying, but she like she says it a lot. Now, if people deny her, she can wrap it up in this talk of, oh, well, she's denying sisterhood. She doesn't care about sisterhood. It's just so I'm like, I'm really triggered, Ronnie.
Well, she sucks. I mean, what are you going to do? And Nene's like, oh, well, she's not going to come to, she doesn't want any drama from me. Well, I just saw her in Canada. She jumped up with some Hennessy ready to fight somebody. I'm like, oh, so the same thing that you just told Marlo you were grateful for her doing?
Mm-hmm.
And she was protecting you?
Yes.
Okay. And so she's about to start going up off on Portia. And she goes, whenever someone has an event, I extend myself and I show up. What? No, you don't. You were insane. You barely showed up to Marlo's. You were an asshole the whole time and then left.
You barely showed up to your own event just now. You're 2.5 hours late to your own event. Okay.
So Portia walks in. By
the way, this poor restaurant has had to block off that upstairs the entire day waiting for this scene to be shot. I mean, please, how disrespectful.
God. And the restaurant's called No Mas, which is hilarious. It means no more.
Well, Portia shows up with Shamia, and Tanya's like, well, if the Lord doesn't answer prayers, it's like, can someone hit reset again on her? Thank you.
So she doesn't get up, of course, to greet Portia, because what host would do that? So Portia comes in, and she's like, well, she's extremely late. But I've tried to extend this olive branch to her a few times. We've got the screenshots of your texts, so shut up. So Portia comes in, and she's like, well, Mother Diane said I should be a bigger person, but who are these women?
Yeah.
No. Who here slept with Dennis?
So Nene is like, well,
Marlo's... there are more randos at that table than on Dennis's body.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So Nene is like, well, Marlo said you didn't want to be in bad energy, and that's not what this event is about. It's about lifting each other up and sisterhood. I'm like, what part of lifting each other up is showing up 2.5 hours late? That is not lifting each other up. Okay, you can't be lifted up if no one's there to lift you up.
And Portia's like,
yeah, well, I looked at the invitation, and it was about lies and jungles and snakes.
It's like, it was just a play on lying because it's a jungle event, okay?
face. She's like, I just found a pun and went with it. So then Eva calls from the hospital and is talking to Candy, and Candy's like, I think it's Candy, maybe it was Tanya, but she's like, oh, Eva's on the phone. And Nini goes, well, I'm talking to Portia. I'm like, wow, really? Sisterhood. Someone just gave birth or is giving birth. And
really early, and it could be really dangerous. And Nini's like, excuse me, I am talking.
I know. Wow. Sisterhood. Really, really in full force.
Yeah. So Nini and Portia decide that they're going to have a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. And Portia's like,
listen, we have things to discuss, but I'm not going to do this in front of all these people I don't know in the jungle.
So, and then Candy is, you know, you can tell Candy is pissed because she does not like waiting. I mean, at least she had access to food, so she wasn't going to get hangry, which is, I'm not body shaming here. I'm just saying, like, if you're going to be waiting somewhere, at least be waiting somewhere where there's tortilla chips, right? So she's basically like, I don't understand the point of this brunch. I mean, she's talking about sisterhood, and this is the fakest sisterhood I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I'm just hoping they cut the part out where Candy tried to get all these ladies on her MLM dildo company, because this is a missed opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, by the way, we didn't talk about that there was a shooting at OLG last weekend. Did you read about that?
No, what happened?
So, not the OLG. The OLG that we went to was is like the OG OLG, and then there is another location, and a guy opened fire there, but I think everyone's okay, but super scary. So,
jeez.
Yeah, I was mad. I was like, how could you do that to my Candy's restaurant? That is not fair. Not fair, but like, and I'm not making light of the fact that people could have been gotten killed, but I was surprised that I had this like protective like response over Candy. Like, that is Candy's. You don't do that to Candy's restaurant, you know?
Yeah, you should have done this at Todd's Taco Place. All right, everybody, that brings us to the end of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Go get your tickets for this week over at watchwhatcrappens.com, and for Charleston and Boston, everywhere else we're going. And we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.